Lori Tupsa. I'm running for the school board, seat 6. And I'm really running for the school board because I think we need new energy and we need new thinking on the school board. I'm not satisfied with the status quo. As I've sat through the hearings and the meetings over the last several weeks, a number of people have commented about how they feel that they're reliving the same story over and over, how they're reading the same newspaper articles that they read a year ago, and they come back again every year. And I think we're stuck in a rut, and we need some new energy. We need some new thinking on the board, and that's why I'm running. I am deeply committed to public education. I have to be. I have 3 kids in the Madison school system. My oldest is John. He's a senior at East High School. My second is a sophomore at East High School, and I have a daughter, Elizabeth, who's a middle schooler at Sherman. She's a 7th grader. I am the president of the Sherman Middle School Parent Group, have been for a number of years, and I was at Sherman while we were the school in crisis. We had that designated take for a while, and really worked very hard at the Sherman community to help turn that school around. I served on principal interview committees. I worked with the district on building improvements. I worked with the staff on discipline plans, and really saw what it took to turn a school around and how you need to bring the community in to do that. I've also worked on school issues in the broader Northside community. I'm a member of the Northside PTO Coalition, and that represents some of the neediest schools in the district. 5 out of the 9 schools that are over 60% high need are in the Northside area, and equity has been a big issue for us. I am an attorney. I work at the Boardman Law Firm, and there I work with local governments. So we identify problems that they have and come up with plans on how they can solve their issues. It involves local governmental cooperation, working with the community, public relations. All those things come together to make sure that you can fulfill the goals you want to fulfill. I also understand the financial aspects of decisions. That's a very important part of the school board's job. I have a business degree from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I served on my law firm's executive committee for 5 years, and doing that, we set employee salaries, handled benefit issues, those type of things, and I understand the importance of all of that. I'm also the chair of a 900-person association in Wisconsin called the Wisconsin Water Association. I believe the school board needs new energy, new thinking, and new voices, and I believe the school job could do a better, or the school board could do a better job for our kids and the community if we had that, and that's why I'm running for the school board. Thank you.
My name is Bill Clinton. I have a degree in education from the University of Wisconsin. I have a master's in public administration and public policy from the University of Wisconsin. In my professional life, I worked for about 25, 30 years connecting low-income families to services, whether that's with a community-based organization, whether that's with a technical college, Dane County Human Services, and now the state of Wisconsin. I have 2 children in the schools, a middle schooler and a high schooler, and I have served on the Midville Lincoln PTA both as a member and later as the president. I have coached soccer for boys and girls and coached basketball. In fact, we practiced here at Cherokee lots of times, and we finished at 6 or 7 at night. See Carencino still here, and Jessica Doyle when she was here working. Very dedicated staff. I'm finishing my first term on the board, and I believe that the public wants a board member that listens, evaluates all the information, and then acts and gives direction to the superintendent, to the district, and moves forward. Let's look at the record. Over the past several years, we've increased student achievement by test scores with the reading scores. We've increased graduation rates. We've increased attendance. We've increased the number of ninth graders taking algebra, which is one of the board goals. We've decreased dropout rates. We've decreased the number of suspensions in middle school. Let's talk about responsiveness, because I think the board needs to respond to the public. The public wanted a community center on the Jefferson Memorial Grounds, Webster Community Center. So we created a unique relationship and did that. Some of the public wanted a charter school in West Raymundo. That started last fall. We understand that our old ESL model was not effective based upon a couple thousand Spanish-speaking kids coming to this district and Hmong coming to this district. So we've redone our bilingual ESL offerings for the district. Balanced literacy, that's We've also, I think, negotiated fair with both our staff and fair in terms of taxpayers in terms of contracts. So, and we've done this all by cutting $38 million because of revenue caps. So I think that's a record that you can achieve. And I think we've been effective in the last year.
Carol?
Thank you. It's good to be here. I'm going to do a very quick overview of the basic kind of who I am. I've lived in Madison for since 1973, all but 1 year on the Near East Side of Madison. I have spent the last 15 years on the school board. I have 4 children, all of whom graduated from East High, and currently have 3 grandchildren in the Madison schools. I want to focus on some issues. There's been a lot of disingenuous talk about the district's budget and budget process. And that talk has impelled me to want to speak more bluntly about this issue. The district has been under revenue caps since 1993. And these caps can be compared as a slightly milder form of taper. The annual budget gap that we face is nothing new. It is a direct consequence of state law, which allows the overall budget to increase at about 2.5% and requires that we pay our staff at least 3.8%. And since staff costs are 85% of our budget, you can see that there is a real problem. No amount of change in budget process or in use of different accounting practices alters that basic arithmetic. Anyone who tells you differently either doesn't understand those facts or is trying to mislead you. The tax levy, which is the total number of dollars that the district taxes for, has increased at below the rate of inflation in the years 1993 to the present. In the face of all that, the district has been able to protect direct services to children except for the last 2 years, while improving achievement in every year. There's another myth out there, and that is that the board only does what the superintendent says and doesn't listen to the community. Of course, that ignores the reality that the board has rejected several of the superintendent's major recommendations: Nuestro Mundo, the Wexford Ridge Community Center, a proposed reservation system for soccer fields. It ignores the reality of the way the board encourages comment as we look at various issues. And the second school at the Leopold site is a typical example. This was a proposal from the Leopold parents, staff, and citizens that the board listened to and adopted. We listened because it both solved the space needs at Leopold and provided other schools with increased space to accommodate further growth in their attendance areas. As a board member, I am constantly looking for new ways to increase the involvement of parents and community in board discussions and decisions. Thank you.
And Larry.
I'm Larry Winkler, and I'm glad to be back, even though I had a little trouble finding it. This is my daughter went here to Cherokee, and is now at West. And for some of her teachers, Jessica Winkler, who used to play the sax and now and switched to the flute. You'll be glad to hear that she's been on the honor roll all three semesters she's been at West. So I congratulate Cherokee for helping pull her through, given where she started. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, and I worked as a researcher and designer with the Research and Development Center for Education, where I helped research educational policies, educational processes, etc. And I have a master's degree in computer science, and I work at UW as a project manager, and I also have a law degree from UW. Now, I'm running because I have spent a couple of years looking at how the board operates. In fact, I attended Carol's budget seminars when she was holding it. I was very grateful for that, but I couldn't get my arms around all of that. And I tried to start thinking like the board thought. And I found that they're not thinking right. And so contrary to what Carol says, there is a better way of dealing with it, dealing with how we budget and how we look at what we're doing. At this stage, the budget takes the budget looks at things from a department level. There's a budget for teaching and learning, there's a budget for administration, there's a budget for business services, but there's nothing linking any of that stuff to the programs directly that our kids take. There is no strict evaluation. The board doesn't evaluate each of the programs, and there's no basis in the accounting system to find out what the cost of each of the programs are, so that you can model. So you can model this, and I'm proposing that as a start of a process where we can get a handle on both the effectiveness of each of the programs and the cost of each of the programs, so that we can make intelligent decisions rather than cuts, which may affect programs we don't want to affect, and may affect programs that can take the cuts. And like Laurie, I've seen the same, it's like seeing Groundhog Day every day. It's the same process, the same speeches, etc. And that needs to change. It needs to be more energy on the board, new thinking, and a new way of looking at the processes that go on. It's not perfect there, contrary to what the board members say. Things are not perfect. And the idea of constantly pointing to the state with the problems, although that may be the case, we do have to do the best we can with what we've got, and that hasn't been done.
Thank you. The candidates were given the prepared question, which I will read to you all. When the board goes to voters in May for the three referenda, the second school on the Leopold campus, maintenance, and operations, how will you vote on each question and why? This is 3 minutes. And the question again is, how will you vote on the three referenda and why? We'll begin with Carol, move on to Larry, Bill, and Lori. Carol.
I support all three questions, and I will not only vote in favor of them, but I intend to work to educate the community and build support for each of the three. Let me begin to try and explain my rationale. The maintenance referendum is a continuation of the money that we have been able to use for the basic upkeep of our facilities. All we are asking is to authorize another 5 years of having that money available. This was a referendum that we passed in 1999 that provided a total across the 5 years of $20 million. And what we're asking will not have any impact in terms of an increase over the tax that you are currently paying. You are currently paying a tax that provides that $5 million. And we still have a district that needs building, maintenance, and repair, and will continue forever. The Leopold School, as I indicated, this is a proposal from the community. It is a community that has figured out a way to maintain its diversity and do it in a cost-effective and efficient manner. This is probably the least costly way to build a school and provide for increased growth. And lastly, the operating budget. We, as I've said, have been faced with the need to cut every year in the last 12 years. And after 12 years, we've run out of the easy cuts. The cuts that we have made in the last 2 years have been very negative for the district and for kids. And it is time that we have to go back to the voters and citizens of this community and tell them and explain to them why it is necessary to maintain the array of services and programs that we currently have that have been working well for our children. And that covers the full range from strings in fourth and fifth grade, athletics at the high school, maintaining small class sizes at all levels, providing adequate custodial services to the schools. All of these things are at risk if we don't approve increased spending. I think that it would be... Let me just say one thing. We're not perfect. Nobody ever has said the board is perfect. And we always can benefit from new ideas and new suggestions. I'm not quibbling with that. I'm saying that to some extent there is an ignorance or an unwillingness to recognize the extent of the problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think we are between a rock and a hard place because the cuts that have come and hurt West High School, where my daughter is now is, and the parents I've talked to, it's horrendous, dirty bathrooms, et cetera, because of the cuts that occurred last year and the cuts that are being proposed this year. And the cuts that are being proposed this year. I'm going to vote for all the referendums, but I want because I think it's cost-effective. I think the Leopold referendum is important because I think appropriate case has been made for that building. However, I would have been more comfortable had the board of long-range planning or planning committee actually followed some of their own rules by making a good case, because there's so many people out there who do not trust what the board does or what the board says. They simply do not have the influence any longer to persuade the public that this is really needed. And some of the steps they should have taken back there was to re-argue the necessity of building. The process there is simple. You argue that we have already made all the changes necessary internally to Leopold. We can't hold them anymore by changing there. They needed to argue that boundary changes were going to be too draconian, and that was not good. They needed to argue and show that another add-on rather than a new full building was not feasible. And then they could say, given all those processes, now we need to build the new building. They didn't go through the process during the planning commission. They just jumped into, let's build a new building, and that's what the long-range planning committee did. There may have internally been justification for that, but it wasn't made, so the public doesn't believe the case was made, and that's my concern. The operating budget, I want the operating budget to be passed because I want, as a member of the board, some time to put this process in place, to have a new budget process that is understandable to the public, and where the public then starts to have trust that we aren't hiding cuts, we aren't inappropriately giving 4.9% raises to the administrators while they're cutting services and school programs to kids, and that the teachers are worth what they're doing. You have to remember, all the money we spend on kids, the kids aren't getting any of that money. The kids are getting nothing. The only thing they can get is an effective program that educates them. So we always need to look at the effectiveness of every program we have and ensure that it works, because at the end of the day, all they're getting out of school, when it doesn't work, is lunch. And that's not enough. And recess. Okay, that's maybe all, and we want more.
Yeah.
Okay, first, Leopold. Yes, I'll vote in favor, and I'll work for that referendum. There's no other viable option. And let's just talk about that for a second. We started, before I was on the board, actually, 2002. I think Ruth there made the motion. It was supported by the board to move forward in February. I started meeting before I was on the board with the Leopold PTA, understood what their issues were. And for the past 3 years, we've made a commitment to build a school in Leopold. 2003, 2004, we built an addition, which was supposed to be the linchpin that connected the school that's there now to the second school. And we were going to wait until this year, probably, when we would hit that number, which would trigger going to referendum, and lo and behold, we hit the number and we're going to referendum. This has been a process that's been agreed to, been planned to, it's been driven by the PTO, by that community. If you don't know, and I think people know this, you have people who speak Albanian, who speak Spanish, who speak English, you have a diverse community that wants to be there and wants their school. If you look at the geography and look at the numbers, there isn't a better solution. To not build at Leopold, I think, is first to ignore what the community wants, not to listen to the community. It's to ignore the facts, just blatantly to ignore the facts. And it's to say that we have one set of rules from each side, where we have schools under capacity, which would be Brooklyn, another set of rules for the south side, where we have a school that's over capacity that we won't build. I think it breaks faith with Leopold. I think it's a disservice to Leopold kids, and it's a disservice to other kids in other schools that may have to relocate because of it. I have to move quick here. Maintenance. Yes, I'll vote in favor of that. We had a Blue Ribbon Commission about in the 90s that said it takes about $10, $11 million to maintain Madison School District. Madison School District, if you put all the space on top of each other, equals the Sears Tower. That was a quick minute. And we spent about $8 million now with the $5 million each year added with the $3 million. I think this is one of those things, you pay me now or you pay me later. It's a lot cheaper to maintain a roof and put a new roof on than the expenses that come later. Real quickly, the operating budget. If you read the paper over the last 10, 12 years, you know we got revenue caps. This is not a mystery. There are 426 school districts in the state of Wisconsin. There have been 1,785 referendums that have been tried to pass the state of Wisconsin. This is a state of Wisconsin issue. This isn't a matter of how you do a spreadsheet. It's not a question of fiscal management. Virgil Krause, others say we manage our money very well. But we have an issue, and that's this gap every year. We're at the point where most of the board says, we don't want to cut anymore. We're done cutting. And now we go to the public and see whether the public wants to support public education.
While I would be willing to support an operating referendum, I cannot support the current proposal, and I'll tell you why. The current proposal is essentially two or three operating referendums lumped together. We're asked to authorize 7.4 more in spending for next year and for every year into the future, okay? And I can support that, 7.4 for this year and every year in the future. But in addition, we're asked to authorize another 7.4 in 2006 and 2007, and that too would go on forever. So that means for the 2006-2007 school year, there would actually be $14.8 million of spending above the spending limits. In addition, if we go to year three, which is what Carol asked about, we'd be asked to authorize another $7.4 million on top of that, which would also go on forever. So for year three, we'd be authorizing $2.2 million above the spending limits. And I was at the board meeting on Monday, and I'll tell you, those type of things were not talked about. For an average homeowner with a $200,000 home, it means $83 extra dollars in taxes in 2005-2006, $212 in 2006-2007, and $331 in 2007-2008. Probably most of you, when you read that in the paper, you wondered why those huge increases. Well, it's because of this cumulative effect that really was never talked about at the board. So I can't support for asking for the additional money before beyond the average of the 7.4. I can't support asking for money for year two and three. The school board is elected to manage the district's money. It should do the best job it can, and if it needs to, it should go back to the taxpayers to ask for more money. But it shouldn't go to the taxpayers for year two and three when it hasn't even done the job it needs to do for year two and three. If they're asking for permission already, why do we even need a school board if they're already going to get permission to do what they want? I don't believe we can continue doing this. We need to do a better job of managing the money. With regard to the maintenance referendum, I support the referendum, but I have to say I am disappointed that the board added computers, microscopes, and other educational equipment to the referendum. I think that makes it harder for the public to buy. The public understands the need to put new roofs on buildings, but they wouldn't necessarily finance their refrigerator the same way they would finance a new roof. With regard to the Leopold referendum, I think my position has been pretty clear. I don't support the referendum on the new school, not because the Leopold community hasn't done a wonderful job. They have, and I fully understand how important it is to do what's needed to do for your community. But I just simply believe an 1,100-child school, K-5, whether it's in one building or two, and however we want to talk about that, is just too big. I don't think we should have 12 first-grade classes.
We move on to the point of our discussion now, where I have questions that many of you have provided, and looking through them, they're very good questions. I may just adjust a wee bit, and so I can try and get everybody's opinions, or maybe reflect them to one or two of our candidates here. And a reminder that you will have 2 minutes to answer these questions. I'm going to begin with, and it'll come right off of what you've been talking about. The question is, do you agree with the cuts that have been proposed by the experts in this district? If not, what would you cut is the question here. And I'm just going to frame it just a little bit differently. And if you would like to bring up, and we'll do it with all four here, if you would like, if you don't like something that's proposed in the cuts, as Art Rainwater has said, then what would you cut? So let's balance it. If you want to keep strings, what needs to be cut? So to be really specific here and talk about what you agree with cuts, we're not going to talk about all of them, but go ahead and talk about those that are important to you. And if you want to change something, what would you change? And let's begin. Lori, we'll start on your end.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to really be able to answer that question because I think the board needs to be looking at those issues for the past year. You know, they needed to be looking at the effectiveness of the programs that they already have, how much they cost, the benefits from those programs, and to see whether we're getting the best bang for the buck or whether there's another program out there that would do the same thing for less money. And you can't now say, okay, now we're stuck, we have a month left, and what would you do? Because the job hadn't been done for the past year. So, I mean, I'm sorry, the cuts are off. The cuts are, I don't like the cuts. I don't agree with the cuts. But I can't say what I would replace that with without being able to have done that evaluation over the past year.
Is there any specific program you could mention that you would want to say?
Well, I would say that certainly the reading recovery program is a program that should have been evaluated. I think there's been enough talked about on that we should have looked at whether that should be one that could be replaced with something more cost-effective. But I can't say personally whether, yes, there should have been a replacement, but I think that would have been one to look at.
Bill, got my question?
All right. Well, there are no good cuts anymore, and that's the problem. So it's a question of, you know, which one of your fingers do you want to cut off is what it is. So we're early in the analysis in terms of looking what's there and then for the board to take over the process. I guess what I find, a couple things I find troubling. Last year we cut $2.4 million in special needs cuts, and there's some recommended cuts this year, and I think I understand the district's reasoning behind it, but that's what I want to explore some more. My family has been impacted by lots of these cuts, but you know, I'll just state them. My kids went through the open classroom, that's slated to be cut. My kids one of my kids started strings with Fred there, their instructor, in fourth grade. That's slated to be cut. Another kid played JV soccer at West, and that would have been cut. So we're looking at things that are obviously close and personal to a lot of us on the board. A little thing, Ready, Set, Go conferences. Those I always found valuable. Those are slated to be cut. ESL bilingual positions. I think I understand the district's position, but you know, I think we've been behind the curve and hiring people with those kinds of skills over time, and that's a population that would be growing. So I'll look at that hard again. And I guess that's all for now. I mean, those are things I'll look at closely. I mean, the things that get closer and closer to the classroom. But at this point, you know, we cut $1.2 million that we thought we could do, and what's left, I think, impacts kids.
Larry, we'll go to you, and again, just to restate, with the cuts that are proposed, what would you, if you have any specifics you'd like to change, and what would you offer?
Okay. I don't know what I would change there. My biggest concern here is that I made a presentation before the board as one of the many three-minute ones that are available. And my biggest concern about the cuts is that they seem to be across the board. No evaluation is made on the importance of certain programs, and that needs to be done before we say this is a good cut, this is a bad cut. And I don't want to cut I don't want every program to decompose a little by little. I think we need to have made in the past some real considerations in long-term planning that says in year five we need to eliminate this program, and I want there needs to be funding outside of that we want to continue, so we take that entire program as a whole and move it outside the district, or move an MCR, move something, and keep that in place without decomposing everything. And so that hasn't been done. That planning was absolutely necessary to be done 5 years ago. So we knew when we came to this point, and we knew we were going to, those things, that homework would have been done, and it hasn't been done. So the cuts that are coming is decomposing everything. So let's take a look at some of the particular budget cuts. There were some 3% non-salary cuts. That's going to affect a lot of programs. Some of them are not worth it, and that we shouldn't have kept around, or is not as important as others, and some of that 3% should be moving to other areas for programs that really are important. So until you look at things in terms of programs, the importance of particular programs, weight them against other programs, which you really have to do, and it's a lot of work, and it requires thinking, and it's grunge work, it's hard work, you still have to do it to find out what's important to you and to your constituents, bring them involved, find out what they think is important to them, and balance it out. So what's a good cut? There aren't any at this stage. Perhaps administrative salaries.
Yeah. I think we're in agreement that none of the cuts are good, and there are some cuts we made last year and the year before that I would really like to be able to put back it, to restore. Cut custodians, and I have had more people in the last several months tell me that there has been a real negative impact on every school in terms of cleanliness as a result of cutting 14 custodians. That's why I said I supported going to referendum. I have a number of things to say. The board doesn't operate in the total vacuum that's being described here. We do look at programs. We do look at performance. In fact, we have a series of points at which we ask the administration to come back to us with the data on how our kids are performing in a variety of different ways. We look at third grade reading test scores. We look at performance in algebra and geometry. We do look at what's working and what's not working for kids. We look at the national research on programs. We take our time to think about these things. We try not to have to come down in the last minute and make decisions. The reason we have been able to survive as long as we have under revenue caps without a significant impact on programs and kids is because of the long-range planning that the board and the district engaged in. We went through 10 years of reductions in the budget every year. And we did that by becoming more efficient. We eliminated things. We changed our processes. And we managed to keep and protect the classroom and the individual and services to children while we did that. What I've been telling you is we don't have any more tricks that we can do to protect kids.
The next question I will put out to the two incumbents, since it is a direct question to what can you do to keep TAG, music, art, and other needed programs due to the funding changes occurring continually?
Well, by going to referendum, that's one thing we can do. We're at the point now, I think TAG, there might be six positions, maybe eight positions district-wide, and I think there's a couple recommended for cuts, and I think that's reprehensible. I mean, we have an incredibly successful strings program. It depends upon what school you go to, but a successful strings program. I don't think we ought to cut that. I don't think we ought to double up specials for first graders. But you need to be very frank here. I mean, we're at the point where things that are important to somebody, I mean, and they'll describe them as vitally important to them, are going to be cut. I don't know whether some of these things will be saved. Now, the question some people have raised, well, you know, you can have partnerships. partnerships are a wonderful thing, and we do a lot of that in this district. And at some point, we'll get a list of all the partnerships. We're great partners with the university, with there's businesses that have kind of quietly adopted certain schools. But if you look at $38 million worth of cuts since revenue caps, there aren't $38 million worth of partnerships. You know, we can't go to Oscar Myers and say, will you give us $7 million next year? And by the way, will you continue that indefinitely? And that's not realistic. Those shareholders will probably fire that CEO. I mean, so partnerships are a wonderful thing. You know, we need to encourage them. But they're more partnerships for particular projects. They don't maintain public school education out into the future. So I don't know whether we can save those things. I mean, I hope we can as a school district and a community, because those are very important. Those are some of the things that keep those kids in the classrooms, in those seats. They don't come to school all the time for that math. But maybe they come for strings, or maybe they come for sports. So it's important to keep them. How well we'll do just depends upon the referendum and what the board decides.
Yes, I think people sometimes try to say that the board is just trying to scare people, and the fact is that we don't. We've gotten to the point where we're saying that if we don't get support from the public, these things are going to disappear. And let me explain a little bit about why we're looking at either a 2 or 3 year referendum. And Lori's numbers were correct. But when you talk about Groundhog Day, the movie, and going back over and over, that's the situation the state has put us in. We are facing a gap, an 8.6 gap, actually, this year. And if we said there are $1.2 million of cuts we can survive. So we're asking the community to provide $7.4 million. If we did it just for this year, then next year we would be facing that same, we would have to find money for the $7.4 million plus the new amount of the difference between the revenue cap and what we needed to spend. And that's another $7 million. And so each year, it's an additional anywhere from $6 to $8 million of cuts that are required to maintain our compliance with the state revenue caps. So it's not enough for me to save strings, tag, the custodial positions once, and it doesn't get us very far. We need to look at that every year and figure out a way that we can avoid putting the district and the kids at risk of these cuts. And make no mistake about this, the things that we're talking about have an impact on kids and kids' approach to themselves and to education.
This is a good follow-up to the previous question, and I'll have Larry and Lori answer it. And it is, how would you respond to a parent who said, who told you that they were planning to leave MMSD as their child could have additional opportunities in drama, athletics, or AP courses? So a parent comes to you and says, we're out of here because we don't get drama, athletics, or AP courses. Larry.
I'm not sure if I would try to convince them otherwise. I mean, they have a full responsibility to do what's best for their kids. And the board really needs to understand that unless they've planned things differently, this is going to be a question and a statement that's going to come up more and more often. And it's a serious problem. I don't have an answer for them. I would actually not talk to them so much. I'd want to listen to all their arguments and where they... of why they're not doing it, so I could take it back and think about it a little bit more, because it's a serious problem that's going to get worse. I'd want to find out where they're going, certainly, and seeing how the other school is doing it. I don't have an answer for that. It's just listening and trying to learn from people's attitudes and what's important.
My next-door neighbor moved out of the school district because of the school move to Wanakee. And in kind of dealing with that, my
sense is that I am really raising a person. I have three kids, and I'm raising people. And I'm really proud of my kids. And they're great people, and they're great people because they're in the Madison School District, because they're in a very diverse environment at East High School, diverse racially, economically, intelligent, everything. And they will be a better person for it. And maybe they could go to a different school district, Wanakee, and where they all get laptops and they can take them around to their classes. But I'm not sure they're going to be the type of person my kid is going to be. It really is a matter of personal choice. And I kind of like Larry. If that's somebody's choice, that well, we want our child to have absolutely the top in education, then maybe Madison isn't for them. My family is big into soccer. My husband was president of Madison Area Youth Soccer Association. A big thing in there was select soccer versus recreational soccer. And the people that were for select soccer would say, we want our kids deserve to play at the highest level. You know, we need to challenge them at the highest level. But there's always something to be said about playing because you enjoy the game, because you enjoy the teammates, the camaraderie. And that's really what I'm trying to get from education in my kids. It's a different philosophy.
Thank you. For the incumbents, what specific initiatives have you taken to raise math scores and participation in advanced math of students of color and low-income students? Carol.
Individually. I assisted my kids taking and my grandkids. As a board, we set for ourselves some priorities that actually it's for the district. In 1998, we agreed to three priorities. One was that every child would be reading at grade level by third grade. One was that we would have 94% attendance at every grade for every group, subgroup. And the third was that every child would successfully complete geometry and algebra by the end of 10th grade. And that is our goal, and we have, it's one that we have struggled with. The other two goals have made a lot of progress. But we get an annual report from the administration on how we're doing on each of those three goals, and each year we've been saying we've got to do more in math. And we have insisted that the administration look at that. And so what's been happening, particularly at the high school level, is there's been a real change in attitude about who is taking algebra and geometry. And I think Bill has quoted the statistic that 90% of our children were taking algebra this time, which is a dramatic change from what it was even 3 years ago. We're recognizing that just as we believe that every child can learn to read, every child can learn to do math and can do it sufficiently well to take higher level math of algebra and geometry.
What Carol said, but just a little bit more. And let me just, as I describe these things, we're really not perfect as board members. We know that we're reminded daily we're imperfect, actually. but and the school district isn't perfect. We have 25,000 kids and several thousand staff and 40-some buildings, and we have a complicated world that walks into our classroom every day, whether it's students, staff, or parents. Having said that, the school district has changed remarkably since when I graduated in 1972. At this point, we have about 43% free and reduced lunch at the elementary school level. That's a different Madison than when I graduated in 1972. It's not a worse Madison, but it's a different Madison. Two out of five kids, I think, now, district-wide, are low-income kids. Much higher percentage of kids of color. And this is, I think, you know, we'll take our lumps, but anyway, we have to every so often take a moment to celebrate. We're one of the few districts in the country, because usually when you increase poverty, what happens is academic scores go down and the achievement gap widens. We're one of the few districts in the country where we've reversed that. And that's remarkable. And if you're a teacher in this district, you deserve to be applauded. You know, the way needed to be applauded. This was a community effort, and so that's incredible. Another thing that we've noticed is that there are kids of color in the high school that ought to be able to take advanced placement but don't select those courses. So what our folks are doing is identifying those kids and asking that question. How can we not make advanced placement? What supports do you need to be in advanced placement? So literally we're going kid by kid to try to make a change in Madison. That's what it takes. Now, it's not perfect, but it's some fairly remarkable progress we've seen, and it's measured by data. I was just going to say what Carol said, but I kept on going.
Our next question is for Lori and Larry. And since we're Larry, Lori, and I will go Lori, Larry. I'm trying to be fair on who gets to go first or not. The question is, what substantive differences do you have compared with the incumbents?
Lori.
Well, I think the biggest difference would be the energy I'm going to bring to the job, the thinking that I'm not satisfied with the way things are. I really think we can do better. And I'm also going to bring a lot of energy to the board. My opponent is chair of the Human Resources Committee, and his committee has met twice this year. That committee is in charge of the superintendent's evaluation, setting goals for the superintendent, and that has not been done. And in fact, it hasn't been done. The superintendent hasn't had an evaluation since 2002. I think that is a critically important thing for the board to do, is to evaluate the superintendent, our main employee. But the district hasn't done that, and my opponent, whose committee is charged with that, hasn't done that. Last year, he was in charge of the Long Range Planning Committee, and that committee this year has met over 15 times to talk about very important things, boundary changes, Leopold School. But last year, it only met 3 times. Now, I have no doubt that my opponent and I have very similar visions for what's good for kids. But I'm going to bring a different type of energy and work ethic to being on the board. And I think that would be the major difference between the two of us.
Larry?
What I bring to it is a fairly broad educational background and, of course, different experiences, too. I think I'm a much more formal person in a sense that I really want to formalize some of the processes here, and I want to focus on where we have control and influence as a board. I don't really want to pursue too much criticizing the state. We can't do anything about that as a board. Until the people of Madison trust what the board has to say, and then we can create perhaps a political unity in Madison that will have an effect in general on what the state legislature and the governor does to us. At this stage, there simply isn't enough, and I want to be able to bring in those folks, which the board has not done, who are either rightfully or wrongfully critical of what the board is doing. And I want to bring them in, and I want to formalize the process so everyone knows publicly how well the school is doing. I want people involved in determining what is important in a formal sense, and I think that's a different kind of energy that Lori talks about, because I've done a lot of that stuff myself. Not that I would do it on the board, because that's a policy-making position. I don't want to do day-to-day kind of work. I want to bring in some of those experts that we have a plethora of, because we're here, University of Wisconsin is here. There's a lot of really smart guys there, girls and guys and professors, and let's bring them in and help us deal with these issues in a way that the board and the administration alone cannot do, and that's not what the board has done. So that's the kind of, I want to bring those kind of partnerships in addition to trying to find money for some of these programs that will be cut.
I have a few questions that I think we can have one individual answer as we go along, because we're heading at the last 15 minutes here. This one will be for you, Bill, and it's the contract between the board and the superintendent requires the board set specific measurable annual goals for the superintendent and evaluate him every year. Elected, will you promise to get that done every year?
have 2 minutes?
Yes.
Great. Let me respond energetically to this. You know, if you look back historically, the Human Resources Committee meets 2 or 3, 4 times a year, every year. Okay, let's just say that. The Long Range Planning Committee typically meets 3 or 4 times a year unless there's boundary changes. When we made the decision in 2002 to build Leopold, it met 3 or 4 times that year. I think that board chair probably did a great job. Okay? Since I've been on the board, we've had 205 board meetings. 205. You look at the number, I mean, and I think that's a lot. You talk to other board members in other districts, and you're kind of astounded. That's Madison. We need a lot. And I have one of the highest attendance rates of new board member that goes to these things. So I think if you want to measure a quality of a board member or a candidate by how many meetings we have, then vote for me. Now, in terms of the superintendent, I think my opponent's perfectly correct. That's a board charge that we need to take up. But that's a board charge. The board evaluates the superintendent. And we need to do that every year. That's true. But one of the best ways to evaluate and hold people accountable is that on every Monday night, we have multiple meetings. If there are 4 board members that say, we're going to put a new roof on Monday, we're going to change our curriculum, we're going to put a new boiler at Randall Elementary School. Unless that's against the law or against policy, that's what that superintendent has to do, or he has to resign. Now, that's direct. That's accountable. There's an expectation of action. And that's what our superintendent does. We gave direction to go forth with Rexford. We gave direction to go forth with North Mundo. Those were positions that the superintendent disagreed with. But he knows he's our employee, and if you ask those communities, the superintendent has embraced those directives from the board and acted on those. Now, I call that accountability. I call that direction from the board. So, time's up, but that's my energetic response.
This is for you, Lori. At the MAFAAC forum 4 days ago, you said you would vote for a 3-year operating referendum, but now you say that you won't. What the board was considering before Monday was not substantially different from what was decided at Monday's meeting. Why then have you changed your mind? So it took me a while to move through that. But.
Well, I guess I disagree pretty fundamentally with the question. My understanding of what the board was going to address, and perhaps I was mistaken, but it was that it was going to be a $7.4 million referendum that would extend for 3 years, and that it would be $7.4 million first, second, and third. What in fact, and that may not be what they intended, but that was my understanding. And I'll tell you, I don't know, I think a lot of other people have the same understanding I do, and if it meant something different than that, it certainly wasn't discussed at the board meeting on Monday. When I found out what, in fact, the referendum meant, and I did not find that out until today, in a conversation with Roger Price, that it actually meant in the second year that there would be 14.8 million, and the next year 22.2 million, I was pretty astounded. And that was absolutely when I changed my mind, because I would support a $7.4 million referendum, which or 8.6, which extended for 3 years, but not a $22.2 million referendum in 3 years.
This I'll direct to Carol. Does the administration's budget discussion document reflect board priorities? Does the document reflect the board priorities? If so, can you explain how business services and MSCR support academic performance? If not, what will you propose changing before the budget is finalized?
The board has 3 priorities. We also have adopted a strategic plan. The administration constructs the budget around the strategic plan. Everything that our various departments do is related to the elements of the strategic plan. And I should emphasize that MSCR, which is Madison School Community Rec, also is part of the district, except it is not under the revenue cap. So that any of the program, we could eliminate the whole department and have no impact on our need to cut $8.6 million this year. MSER has taken, it has over the years become a much more integral part of the educational process in terms of the kind and quality of after school programs, summer programming that they do for children, in addition to their other programming for adults. Business services is our basic department that does all of the stuff that nobody wants to do, purchasing, payroll, buildings and grounds, all of that. And that area, business services, actually the business wing of the district, has taken the biggest amount of cuts over the last 12 years. Last year, when we cut close to $10 million, 36% of the cuts came from the central office. This year, 24% of the cuts come from the central office. We have done most of our cutting in those areas before we've approached the things that affect kids.
Larry, I'm going to ask you this one. I've heard Johnny talking about it. Do you think we should have to do fundraising by going to corporations and asking for money?
I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with it because there's usually strings attached. Now, the only time at which I would think...
But not fourth or fifth.
Well, I was thinking about bringing them in and saying, give me a lot of money and then make sure you support strings so that you can actually publicize. We've given you money with strings attached. So, I think it may be necessary to support, to go after some kind of community support to support whole programs. I don't like the idea of being in a position of advertising. I mean, our kids are already wearing too much clothes that advertise, and I'm not comfortable with the school board doing the same thing. Would I support it? I would support it in the context of a full community action in which the businesses are part of the community and maybe have matching funds based upon raising funds from the public in general, etc. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm uncomfortable if we become an advertising agency for their products, which may not be in the best interest of the kids.
I have a question, Bill, directed at you. It's linked. Do you feel the media covers school issues well? And what do you think of the fact that there are no reporters here tonight? I just thought that was an interesting question since I used to be one of them.
Do they cover it well? I would.
Careful.
I would probably write a few stories differently. I think we burned through reporters. There've been a couple at the State Journal, a couple at the Cap Times since I've been on the board. I'm not sure whether it's the school district or whether it's the media, but I don't think our story is getting out. And what gets out sometimes, because it's a story, is if there's a dispute, if there's a disagreement, if there's something that rises to a headline level that might catch somebody if they're drinking coffee at 6 o'clock in the morning. But what gets lost are things that are fundamentally important to our kids and our school district. And that's what I guess I find troubling, because I'll go through a meeting and we'll have made some decisions and had some spirited conversation and disagreements, and I lost or I won or whatever, and what gets reported is something that I guess somebody thinks would be interesting to someone who's not engaged in public education. So what I'm trying to do is, and I think it's important to do with the referendum and public education in general, is to find ways to tell our story. Because I think Madison supports public education. Madison also thinks that they're tax time. And I think if we can tell our story and talk about the schools and talk about how the schools benefit not just the folks that have kids in schools right now, which is only 30%, but that this is an investment. This is an investment for that employer who's going to hire workers. This is an investment for those future entrepreneurs that keep the economy going. This is how you have informed citizens that know how to vote. Then I think we can connect. But I guess my biggest problem is not feeling like our story is being told.
Next question is,
classroom teachers link to professional development and consultation on how you deal with specific issues. And by reducing the number of PSDs that, as is proposed, we will make it more difficult for classroom teachers to get the consultation and support that they need. And there's another way in which this will impact kids directly. And that is that the downtown PSTs, the program support teachers, are the ones who do the initial evaluation and assessment for designating whether a child is in need of special education services or not. And we pulled those people, we pulled that responsibility out of the local schools to relieve the classroom teacher, the special ed teacher, from having to do those in their non-teaching hours. And it has allowed us to both bring all of that downtown, but also develop consistent district-wide standards on what qualifies as need for special education services, which has meant that we have been able to reduce the number of kids referred for special ed. It also means that we have been able to support schools and suggest ways which are not special ed services that might be appropriate for dealing with kids. So when we, you know, it's easy to say, well, just cut everybody from downtown, until you look at the ways in which the downtown staff support what's happening in the schools.
All right, I think you talked about soccer before, so I'll give you this one. How important do you think no-cut freshman sports are?
Well, they're certainly helped to bend or build up the competitive programs. I think there could be other options for freshman sports. I think having the ability to have freshmen come together and connecting them with the school is a very valuable thing, whether it needs to be done through MMSD or MSCR. I think that would be a topic to talk about with the community. And I would talk about it with the soccer community and the football and basketball. I really need to talk to them, not make a decision from downtown on what's best for those kids. But the idea that we need to connect our freshmen into the high school right away when they walk in those doors is critically important, and I agree with that, and sports is a good way to do that. But whether no-cut freshman sports is the best way or the only way to do that, I would really want to talk to the community.
Thank you. Larry, I'll let you try this one. How do you specifically... love that little word. This is a kind of tough one. Plan to handle the growth that's projected to occur in the outlying areas. And then they point out Swan Creek, Oak Meadows, Heather Glen, Garfoot, McGaw, Linden. I'm not sure if that's all south side or if that's mixed in there. I know some of them, but not all. Okay. You got 2 minutes to be specific.
2 minutes to be specific. Well, I think Art has already raised in a number of occasions the possibility of having really new schools there to accommodate. But since there's been a number of meetings with regard to boundary changes, and this is not a solution, there's been a number of meetings with regard to boundary changes that has surprised me. And I think a number of board members have also seen that, at least expressed the fact that they were kind of surprised. One of the things that the boundary changes did was to try to get rid of islands. And we found that, to my surprise, they don't think of themselves as islands. They were all think they were connected to the main land. And that what we thought was technically islands were still communities that didn't care where they went to school. They cared where they went to school, and it was their school. And so that I think that gives us an opening a little differently. For example, when we were at Allied Drive asking about the boundary changes, we found that people in Allied Drive didn't mind the bus to go to Glen Stevens. And that surprised me a lot. and the school really supports them, the school wants them there, et cetera. It was just this community, even though it wasn't a neighborhood school. So being a neighborhood school is definitely a psychological, not a physical property. And so what that tells me with these schools is that, for example, schools that don't have enough enrollment and might be closed for that particular reason, rather than cutting all the teachers, we may be able to, if we have an efficient transportation system, we may better be able to use those, because it is the case, it seems, that if we establish a psychological bond to any school from allied or from farther away from where we think is a community school, we may be able to keep some of them open without building, at least for a time. So I'm actually encouraged by what I've heard, because I think it gives the board some different ways of looking at the problem of low-capacity schools in ways I was surprised at.
I'm going to ask, it's quarter after. I've got a few, not real specific questions, but wide questions. Should we go to our closing statements, or we start a few minutes late? Any suggestions? Okay. I am in charge. You guys are comfortable. You can move around. So I'll ask, because I just had this last question, so it's the one that always gets asked a lot, so we'll ask it all of you, which is going to eat up a little bit of our time, but it's the elementary strings. And it's on the budget cut list, a 100% cut. This is an academic program that is part of board-approved curriculum with standards. Why? 100% cut the strings when other areas are not cut entirely, affecting 1,800 kids. What's wrong with this suggestion? What's been missing 4 years? What would you do? I'm a little confused by that last part, but I'm reading it all because maybe it'll make a little more sense to you guys. But again, it's the string program, and it's something that's near and dear to many people's hearts, and you hear from the kids every year. It's out there. It's very visible. So let's let each of you have a chance to answer that for 2 minutes. And Laura, you want to take a crack?
Strings is one of those programs where when the district says, yeah, we've done everything, I think one of the things they clearly haven't done is reached out to the community, the Strings community, to try to say, how can we address it? The topic we talked about Monday at the board meeting, Johnny Winston Jr. said, aren't there other ways we could address Strings? And the superintendent clearly said, no, he's thought of everything, and there isn't. But what he hasn't done is reached out to the community and worked with the communities to see if there are other alternatives. And it's not just the other alternatives for funding. It could be other ways of providing the service. They have reached out this past year to the sports community, and there has been a task force, although some would say it hasn't been very effective. But at least they did reach out. In the Strings community, or in the fine arts community, there hasn't been that reaching out to try to develop the program. So I think that's a major failure that we have to do differently.
Well, it's just that this is 100% cut, and the other areas are not cut entirely. And I think that is that fair, is probably the gist of that.
Yeah. And again, I think we have to reach out to the community, so I guess that.
Okay. All right. Bill will go down the table this way.
Okay. A couple of things. One of my kids started playing strings in fourth grade. Fred was a teacher. Still plays. Is in YSO, and it's one of her loves, as I heard the other night when there was some discipline involved. And when I was elected in 2002, I was one of the board members that pushed to, when Strings was on the chopping block, to put Strings back. And my daughter was in the fourth row on the right playing cello, furiously to get me to make sure I was on her side. So it's a very difficult decision for me. And there have been some attempts to reach out. I know Ray Allen met with some arts folks several years ago. We hear the superintendent, the rest of the story was the superintendent had said that he'd been working with staff for 2 years to try to devise a different methodology. John was saying, is there a different way to incorporate strings into the classroom? Does it take music or music ed teachers out and you put strings in place, or are there other kinds of things? And Superintendent said they had tried to work through those things, and he and his staff, not just he, couldn't come to something that worked. So I think it's going to be a real challenge. I mean, I want to keep strings. My family's benefited from strings. I supported it, obviously, in 2002. And we'll just have to see as we go through. I mean, if we don't cut strings, there'll be the equivalent amount of dollars cut out of something else. And at some point, you know, what do you define as most important to this district? And it depends upon who you are and what your kid does.
Carol. Well, I didn't support the proposed cut in strings 3 years ago, and I don't support it now. On the other hand, it is $500,000, and I think it is unlikely that we are going to find a part of the community that is willing to contribute $500,000, not just today, but every year for the next forever. To maintain, or it'll go up in terms of cost. And the other part of it is, I'm not sure that basic educational services should be dependent on the generosity of a community. I think that's why we have a taxing system. It means that we all are committed to supporting the services that are important to everyone. To give you the explanation, it isn't enough to just have a referendum for this year and save strings this year, because next year we're going to face an additional $7 million cut, and the things that we save this year will again be subject to potential cuts. That's why we said if we're going to do it, we're going to do it for more than 1 year, and we're going to do it in such a way that we don't have to continually go back and consider what part of our body, which fingers, which toes, are we going to eliminate. I think that if the referendum fails and the things that are on the cut are in fact going to be cut, and make no bones about that, there are some things we could do in terms of strings. It won't be a classroom program, but I think we could probably work with through MSER and the community to provide some after-school programming that would at least work for some kids. It's not ideal. It's not even good. But that's what I can think of.
I think as a program, I think it can and should be part of general music education, it seems. But my concern has always been, from my personal experience, I don't like the pull-out aspect of strings, but I would like it to continue in some form where that, and what I consider educational detriment for other programs, would be eliminated. My personal side of this is. Well, you probably don't know. We adopted our daughter when she was 5 years old, and she had no education, formal or otherwise, before she came here. And I put her. She wanted to play strings, and we put her in here, and then found out it was a pullout, and I was very upset because she really did need a lot more of the core, and pullouts just wasn't going to do it. So I had to pull her out from there, and I was a bit surprised by that. Because I considered it a real detriment to her education to try to play strings because of the pullout. So I'm in favor of trying to keep it going, but not as a pullout. And I think it's very important that this have been planned a long time ago. As we've known it was going to happen because it's been on the chopping block for years. And something needed to get done 5 years ago to ensure that if people wanted it, it would be available and come up and organize. I was a bit surprised when I was actually fairly surprised at the rationale for the budget cut when the when Art said I can't remember the language. It was almost like he had given up trying to get people to negotiate how it should be done, and which he, you know, he's a day-to-day boss. He can say, figure it out, negotiate this, and get it done to me, get it done, and come back in 2 months with a solution. But that wasn't done. He seems to have put it as not important enough to find a solution for. So I'm uncomfortable with that process.
We're at the point now where we will take closing statements from our candidates here. We're back to 3 minutes per candidate. And I will go in reverse order, but since Larry did just get done speaking, I'll let him take a little breather. And we'll start with Carol to Larry, and then with Bill and Lori. All right? Carol.
Okay. We have an excellent school district here. We aren't perfect. We have lots of things that we still need to do, but we have an extraordinary district. My children are graduates, and they have benefited. I have grandchildren in the schools, and I can see the improvement in what's happening for kids between the time that my children were there and the programs that my grandchildren have. And we have the school district we have because of the staff that we have. And I said earlier, I said in my opening, that our budget is 85% personnel. And that's because education is an intensely personal experience. We use computers and books and all sorts of other equipment, but basically education comes down to the relationship between the teacher and the student. And we have invested in our staff to make sure that they have the qualities that they need in terms of the skills and the ability to work with kids from a variety of different backgrounds and at different skill levels. Because that's the thing that makes the difference. It isn't cheap to do it that way. We hire highly qualified staff, we invest in them, and we want to retain them. There are people who are saying we should solve our budget problems by freezing our staff salary or not giving them increases or minimal increases. That's not a good way to have a high-quality education system. It is dependent on staff. And I'm not talking here just about teachers. I'm talking about administrators, custodians, educational assistants. All of these people interact with our kids. And if they're not of the highest quality, we don't get the best service that we need. And in order to provide the kind of education that we have grown used to and expect, we need to maintain the fiscal support for the school, and that means passing the referendum.
I kind of want to disagree with the concept here that more money for staff equals better and higher quality. And it's not that I want to make sure they earn a good living. But, you know, I work for the university. We've got PhDs who are doing incredible research making $25,000 a year. High quality researchers making $25,000 a year. And they may be worth $100,000, but the university's not paying them for it, and they're willing to work here, and I don't think they can support their family that way. And I found out, I worked for the state too, and I found out that I have a lesser salary. If you saw Parade Magazine, I think I'm a pretty good employee. I lead the projects, etc. In Parade Magazine, I make less than a tugboat operator. And I'm kind of jealous of that. Maybe I can do that after I retire. So I think we need to. I've been uncomfortable. One of the things that made me extraordinarily uncomfortable was last year, before the board made their final decisions on budgets, the principals came in to sit at the board meeting and argue for their raises. And I don't remember what that number was, but it was substantial. It was done not as part of the budget. And I think Ruth said she wanted to be part of the budget and discussed as a whole. What bothered me about that, and I think it bothers me about all the employees, the way the contracts are negotiated, is because these people are negotiating their salaries in isolation as sort of a column, and it doesn't seem like they care. So what happened that time, which was actually a shock, is is the board was going to make big decisions about the quality of their schools. And after the vote then said, yeah, we're going to give you all your raises, we had about 10 or 15 principals or administrators there. They up and left. And that, to me, was a shock. I would have expected them to stick around and say, no, these schools are really important to us. I want to stick around and make sure questions that the board may have about its impact on our schools are answered. In fact, Shua Vang, in fact, had a question. He says, you know, I wish the principals were here because I don't know if my proposal is going to have an impact or not and how it's going to affect the school. He wanted to cut supplies and services, which is now on the cut list. And I wish those kind... And the other thing about the salaries, I think the public needs to see that somebody... That everybody's making sacrifices. And I'm not making 5% wage increases. I'm paying more for health benefits. I'd like to see sacrifices made for political purposes in the sense that perhaps that would allow the rest of the public in Madison to... think that we're doing a pretty good job and everybody's making a sacrifice. So I would want to go back and renegotiate all the contracts this time around to see if for a couple of years we could hold the line and it wouldn't be so bad. And perhaps the referendums would then go through it, not this time, the next.
Bill and then Laurie.
Well, first I'd like to thank Beth and Arlene and the folks that organize this. It's always great to come to Cherokee, and I can't say I want to do this every night, but I'm supposed to say that, I think. You know, while discussions about school financing can become very, very complicated, sometimes unnecessarily so, but very complicated, I think that people want to know two things. I think if you're a parent and you're around the dinner table, as we were tonight for the first time in about a week at the same time, you want to know whether your kids are getting educated. How's the teaching and learning process? What happened to you at school? Are you making progress? That's vital to parents. Parents want to know that. They want to have some confidence that that happens. And while we're not perfect, we certainly are not perfect, I think the data shows, you know, the facts show that this district is committed to academic achievement for all kids. We're not there yet, but I think we're dedicated in that regard. The second thing, besides parents, is you have to talk to taxpayers. And I think what taxpayers want to know is the dollar that I'm paying, or the dollars that I'm paying, is that a wise investment? Am I getting value for my money? Prove to me that investing in our schools makes sense and is some kind of a positive societal value. And I think we can make that case, too. Valencia Douglas, who is an assistant superintendent, who's leaving, unfortunately, wonderfully talented person. She told me, and she said this publicly, so this is okay to say, that the reason she came to this district was that she was convinced this district and this board were committed to change, that they wanted to get better. This district wanted to improve itself. Not that this district was perfect already. And that's what I think about when I think of Madison. I think if you're a public school advocate, and if you're about kids, then you find ways to improve public schools. You find ways to support public schools. Because if you look across the country, as public schools go, that's how cities go. And so we are important to the vitality of the community. So what I'm, I guess, dedicated to is providing a quality education to kids and doing it in a very cost-effective manner. So I would appreciate your vote on April 5th. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you've heard me say that the school board needs new energy and new thinking, and I really believe it. We've got to break away from the status quo. I believe we can do better, and I believe I'm a candidate that can help the school board do better. I agree that Madison supports good public education, but it does want to make sure that its money is spent wisely, efficiently, and for the benefit of the kids. Confidence in the current school board's ability to do this has eroded. Some people may not want to believe it, but I'll tell you, I think when we looked at the last referendum, operating referendum we had,
it only passed with 51% of the vote. Less than 1,000 people. That was the only difference. You should have taken some message from that. We needed to do something different. We need to do better. And that, I want to say, was an operating referendum that was not a recurring referendum. That was very different than the one we're not going to be asking the public to go to. We need new voices. We need people who recognize that confidence has eroded. One of the things that's wonderful about running for office, and that, but there's a lot of wonderful things about it, but one of the wonderful things is that you get to go and meet a lot of people and hear what they have to say and go to these things called coffees. And everyone is very different. But I hear a similar message that people are concerned. They want to make sure we're doing a better job. How come we seem like we're repeating the same story over and over? We need to chart a new course for our school board. We've got to break out of the tired budget cycle that's pitting kids against kids, programs against programs. I was looking some things up on the website, and I saw that the city of Waukesha, who did a recurring referendum, had a community group that put together a list of programs and how they would prioritize them. That's something our community has been asking that we do for years, and we haven't done it. But Waukesha, who's looking for a recurring referendum, has, and it's on their website. It's great. We've got to break away from the status quo. If we don't, we're jeopardizing the referendums. And I think everybody agrees that operating referendums are needed, but they're not going to pass if the public is not confident that we're doing a good job. In my professional life, in my school involvement, my community involvement, I've proven that I'm a leader that can get things done. I work really hard. I motivate and cooperate with people. I think strategically. I've initiated new ideas. That's at my law firm, at the associations I've been involved in, at the schools I've been involved in. And I would bring this leadership and this experience and this work ethic to the school board. I really hope you vote for me on April 5th for seat 6.